Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Mai Canales, Deputy Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Treasury. Joining us in our conversation is Jay Tanzing, a PwC consultant. Well, Mai, in our conversation so far, you've been talking about technology and the different things that might happen, so I'm curious, how will technology affect federal employees and the way they do their jobs?
Well, I think you'll see a lot more of being able to do your job anywhere, anytime type employees. I mean, unfortunately, I am now accessible 24/7 with email, phone, paging. I mean, and it's all in one little box. I can do my whole job from a little wearable device, you know. But it's interesting. I think that we now are not limited to our offices. We can work from home. Agents can work from the field. And you have access to everything you normally have access to at your desktop. And I think that's the biggest change I see.
Will it affect how the government's managed? For example, old models were hierarchical structure, a ratio of managers to employees of 1-7 or whatever that was. And now with technology, how will that change?
I think it will make it easier for managers. You know, a lot of what took so much time in the past was the paperwork, you know, signing memos and routing them around and some person physically walking this memo around because it had to get out that day. And now, you know, I send a memo out and I send it to six people and I can either structure it so it gets approved serially or all at one time. And I can say, give me your input, and it's all there electronically, and I get all their input at the same time, and I can make decisions right away and get it out right away. So I think as far as workflow, it's made our lives so much easier. And I think you'll see a lot more in government of, as I mentioned earlier, program managers, where they're managing solutions and services and not managing people. So I think you'll see a lot more of that type of change.
How about in terms of the technology and its impact on the citizens?
Well, you know, I think, you know, anybody who has kids or has watched kids in grade school and college and high school nowadays, they don't wait in line for anything. They do everything online. I'm even that way, and I'm in my mid-40s, you know. So I think as this next generation grows up, government better be responsive and provide government in lots of mechanisms, you know, online, offline, buildings, phone, fax. I think, you know, government needs to adapt to that and provide the services based on what our citizens want. And I think our citizens of the future are online citizens, and I see governance going online.
Are there any interesting new technologies on the horizon that you're looking at that you think will play an important role in Treasury's overall activities in the future?
Yeah, I think wearable devices are going to play a critical role, which is wireless technology, but for, you know, solutions where agents can wear you know, devices that allow them to, one, get access to information, two, see things that, you know, you see these virtual components where another agent's in another area and they can actually see that other agent and what that agent is seeing and what he's dealing with and things like that. I think in healthcare, which is not a Treasury mission, technology is going to play a huge role. I mean, people with wearable devices that tell them, go to the hospital because in the next 5 minutes you're going to have a heart attack, you know. Imagine the life-saving that will have. So I think wearable devices and wireless technology are the hot thing coming up.
How far away do you think that is?
Oh, it's here. It's here. I mean, it's not all over the place, but it, you know, it's like DVD players. They're under $100 now, you know, and they used to be $1,000, you know. So you'll see them more and more.
We hear a lot about the difficulties that the federal government is having in recruiting and retaining employees, especially technology workers. Can you describe the Treasury's Information Technology Workforce Improvement Program?
Yes. We actually have several features, but I think the one thing I'd like to mention up front is that in the old way of thinking, people used to take a job and they'd stay with that company or with the government, you know, 30 years till the day they retired. Well, in the private sector, you guys have adapted very well to the fact that sometimes you get somebody in 3 years and then they get bored and go away. In the government, we're just learning that. It's okay to come and work for the government 3 years and then go somewhere else. That keeps you getting new blood. You don't need everybody staying for 30 years, which is a new mentality in the government. I stick out like a sore thumb because I've never had the same job for 3 years ever in my entire life. I get bored and I move on, you know, or I might stay with one company, but I work, you know, Navy one day and NASA another day and healthcare another day. But what Treasury is trying to do to address some of those issues is creating program managers and project managers. We've got two interesting programs that I'd like to mention, the Executive Potential Program and the Management Potential Program. The Executive Potential Program is for what are called GS-14s and 15s, which are one level down from the top, the senior executive service. And it trains them and it sends them to different facets of government and private sector and opens them up to things like what happens on the Hill, what happens in OMB, what happens in other agencies, how does the private sector deal with this? It gives them team building and facilitation skills and business classes. So we've got that. It's an 18-month program, and it kind of sets them up for senior executive service. Then we've got the Management Potential Program, which is the next level down. I believe it goes to GS-13s and 12s. I'm not sure of the grades, but it does the same thing. It prepares them to be senior IT managers in the government, and it opens them up to program management skills, team building skills. Performance-based contracting is one of the things we're teaching them in there. So it's interesting. We're trying to build a succession ladder.
Are those retention tools? Normally when we talk about acquiring IT workers, people think about just recruiting. But I'm curious about retention because I'm imagining by the time people are in Treasury and they develop these specialized skills, they have other opportunities in the perhaps in the private sector, but also in other parts of government.
Right. You know what? I'm not as worried about retention because I think if you're providing a place where somebody's growing and happy, that will happen. But what I found is that even when people leave and go somewhere else, like especially if they go to private sector, generally their skills are coming back to help Treasury anyway. When I was a CIO for one of the healthcare networks in the Midwest, I lost three people to, I guess I could say, to Cisco. And sure enough, within a year, those people were back helping Cisco identify ways to improve, you know, the healthcare network that I was in. So I got them back anyway because they like to stay in the area. That's what they know. And, you know, they had better jobs. They were happier, but they were still helping me. So that was fine. But even if they leave and they go to another agency, it's still for the good of government or for the good of whatever technology. So I'm not as concerned about the retention factor as I am about the factor of giving people what they need to do their jobs and making them happy at work and making them feel like they are well-respected and cherished employees.
I know there was talk on the Hill of having ways whereby, I think this was technology workers, could move across the sectors to get more training.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you've sort of done that in your career, but I'm curious how you think that might work.
Well, with the Federal CIO Council Workforce Program, we do have mentoring initiatives where we share workers at the different levels. And they'll come and they'll do a year. They'll come and they'll do 3 months. You know, it depends on the initiative they want to work on. But we share them. I've personally had 4 or 5 in the 2 years I've been at Treasury, 4 or 5 people that have come over mentoring programs and worked with us. And I have 2 people currently out on mentoring programs in different agencies right now.
So, what are the lessons learned?
Oh, they love it. They come back and they have all sorts of new ideas and did you know they did this? Or guess what? I showed them what we did with this. And, you know, they'll be working with something and something budget related, especially, which tends to cross our agencies now. And they say, I know who to call over there. And they call somebody, especially when you send somebody on a detail. In fact, I have a third. I just remembered I have somebody on a detail at OMB, and he's learned all of our budget contacts. He goes, I know who to call who can answer that, and it really excites them. They like it, you know.
What advice would you give for a young person who's perhaps interested in his career as maybe a CIO?
I would say a technology background is great, but when you get your master's or you go on for your advanced degrees, get a business degree. Focus on business. Even get something you like if you're interested in finance or healthcare or something like that. Get a health administration degree or a political science degree or an accounting, not accounting, a finance administration degree, or, you know, focus on an area that you like and learn the business.
How about in terms of the types of experiences they should be having? Should they be trying to work on very technical projects or large groups of people? What would be the most relevant experience?
Well, you know, I think it depends on what they like to do, but it helped me as I was growing up in technology to be very technical at first and to understand what the issues really are. Because when engineers come to me, I understand their pain. You know, I hear their pain. And that means a lot to them. I may say no, but I understand what they're talking about. And that means more to them than I can say.
What's your vision? Our final question. What's your vision of the Office of the CIO for the next 10 years at Treasury?
Well, you know, I think it'll be an investment management firm. I believe that we're going to be doing investment management, making decisions about where to spend money, how to streamline things, not just at Treasury, but across government, because it's you know, Jim likes to talk about the government blob. My boss, he likes to say, you know, government, as we do these business processes across, you're going to see a blob of government that's focused on trade and a blob of government that's focused on grants. And you shouldn't in the future be able to tell where people work.
Well, that's a good stopping point, Maya, because I'm afraid we're out of time. Jay and I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you.
And did you have a website you wanted to mention?
Well, yes. Actually, I was going to plug FirstGov so people can see what we're doing across government, the www.firstgov.gov. And I think it on there, it tells you the new things coming up with e-government.
Great. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Maya Canales, Deputy Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Department of Treasury. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research, and you can also get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.